Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' And then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' And then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Surprise and wonder. When God shows up in the lives of people, usually something of a surprise. God doesn't often operate on our timelines or show up in the ways that we expect them to. And in Scripture, when God shows up in the life of one of the people who are there telling their story or having their story told, God shows up in a theophany. Theophany is a fun seminary word that means all of the crazy stuff that happens around God showing up. Like what we read in Daniel. Thrones and fiery flames and burning wheels and streams of fire and thousands upon thousands and ten thousands times ten thousands. Whirlwinds and dust clouds and pillars of fire or pillars of cloud or burning bushes. Things that defy explanation, things that defy expectation, and to see it is to see something awful and awesome and wonderful and amazing and frightening and unnerving and uplifting. When God shows up for Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration, and Jesus takes on this blazing glory, the disciples fall upon their faces because it is too much for them. Clouds overtake them. When God shows up, there's a lot of fun special effects. But also in Scripture, when God shows up in Scripture, when God shows up and we see God, God also shows up as a person, incarnate, in historical personhood, in the body of a Jewish man named Jesus. We're beginning now the approach towards the celebration of that incarnation and God showing up in the world as a little baby. God showing up as a human being. God showing up as a person. And this was the great scandal of Christianity. Continues to be the great scandal of Christianity, that God could just be like one of us. Like that song. What if God was one of us? In the book of Daniel, there is a king, that king that goes to be crowned before the Almighty Ancient One, the one upon whom dominion is never ending. And that king who comes, that one who comes in the midst of all that theophany, all of that extra special effects, is described as one like a human being. Kind of a curious description. It's kind of normal. It's just this normal person going there amid the clouds of heaven and the thrones of fire, and there all kingship and dominion and glory shall be given. And this one like a human being, this phrase that Daniel uses is a phrase that Jesus then uses to describe himself when he says, the Son of Man. This is the same term, just translated in two different ways in our scriptures. When the Son of Man comes, when this human being comes, when this human one comes, when this child of humanity comes, when this Son of Man comes, a person is coming. Martin Luther King Jr. called this realization of the personality of God, the personhood of God, a theology of personalism. And this was his theology. In our creeds, we talk about God in three persons. Personhood is vital to God, and it's vital to our ability to see God. And in the scripture passage of the gospel this morning, seeing God and the surprise that comes when you realize that you've seen God is what it's all about. In one of his books, Where Do We Go From Here?, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote this about seeing God. The image of God, the sight of God, that thing that we can see of God, the image of God is universally shared in equal portions by all humanity. And I'm going to update his gendered language here, because if he were writing today, he would use more inclusive language. He says all men, I'm going to say all people. Every human being has etched in their personality the indelible stamp of the Creator. Every human being must be respected because God loves every human being. The worth of an individual does not lie in the measure of their intellect, their racial origin, or their social position. Human worth lies in relatedness to God. An individual has value because they have value to God. Whenever this is recognized, whiteness and blackness pass away as determinants in a relationship. And son and brother, daughter, sister, child, sibling, are substituted. Seeing God in one another. As the righteous do here in the gospel reading this morning, the righteous who will go on to inherit eternal life, seeing God in one another is about seeing the image of God in one another, and seeing the image of God in one another is about seeing the humanity and the worthiness in one another. And especially seeing the humanity and the worthiness, the value in the marginalized, in the outcast, in the poor, in the under-resourced. This is the grand surprise. For Jesus shows up in just these ways. And Jesus shows up and ministers to just these people because this sight of God, this surprising image of God that we are able to see, is just what he came to open our eyes to. To be able to see each other's humanity, to see the other's personality, to see the personhood of the poor, the personhood of the prisoner. Yes, even the prisoner who is guilty for doing something horrible. Even Derek Chauvin, who's been in the news because he was injured here in prison, seeing the personhood of Derek Chauvin is just as important and vital as seeing the personhood of George Floyd. Seeing the personhood and the humanity, the personality held in these temporary vessels that are people. And even though people are full of mistakes, full of problems, full of ways that we don't live up to the promise that is laid out before us, even though our vessels are cracked and broken, even though things don't go the way that they always should, our humanity, that image of God, that worthiness, never seeps out and leaves the vessel empty. It doesn't matter if that person is poor, if that person is hungry, if that person is thirsty, if that person is a stranger, we've never seen them before, if that person is imprisoned, if that person is sick, if that person is naked, it does not matter. That person is disabled. That person is transgender. If that person is a foreigner, it doesn't matter. Their humanity, their value never goes away, for they are still a creature of our Almighty Creator who created and fashioned every single one of us in the beautiful and variety that we are. Seeing God is a surprise. It's a surprise to see God, but it's also a wonder. Seeing God is a fascination. When the disciples see God up on the mountaintop, or here when the righteous are told, "You saw me and you gave me food. You saw me and you tended to my needs." They're curious. They're like, "Wait, when? When did we see you? I want to know more." When the disciples are up on the mountaintop for the transfiguration, they want to stay there because they're fascinated, even though they're terrified. They're amazed with wonder. And when we see the humanity, the full humanity in one another, then instead of responding to difference with fear or trepidation, or building up walls against people who are different from us, instead, there's something that wells up in us, a curiosity, a wonder at the intricacies of their story. If you run into somebody who has something that about themselves that you do not understand this week, I invite you to step into wonder and curiosity about that. For in that wonder and curiosity is the image of God, seeing God and their humanity, their personhood. As the great theologians have come to understand, seeing God means being changed. The history of revelation and the history of salvation are tied up together. When you see God, you are saved. So let us see the God who is in each of us. The God who forms us and names us child of God. The God who places that image of God, makes us in God's likeness. See that humanity and worth in ourselves, in everyone here, and in every person that we might meet. And in that, let us rejoice and enter into the salvation and the glory of God. Amen.
Come now, you blessed, eat at my table, said Jesus Christ to the righteous above. When I was hungry, thirsty and homeless, sick and in prison, you showed me your love. When did we see when were you homeless, a stranger alone? When did we see you sick or in prison? What have we done that you call us your own? When you gave bread to earth's hungry children, when you gave welcome war's refugees, when you remember those most forgotten, you cared for me in the smallest of these. Christ, when we meet